Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. So here's a question. What do you see in the crowds of demonstrators across the Arab world? In Cairo, do you see democracy or do you see chaos? There was violence all weekend this morning. We're going to check in on that. In Syria, do you see hopelessness or a tipping point in that country? In Libya, is it promise or politics as usual? Well, whatever you see in the hazy news footage coming out of the Arab world, the news strikes closer to home. If it is the faces of family members you might conceivably see in those crowds. This morning, a look at the developments and setbacks in three nations experiencing the wave of change called the Arab Spring from the perspective of some people who are living those changes right here in the USA. Joining us in the studio is Nancy Youssef. Once again, she's a professor of English at City University of New York Baruch College and an Egyptian-American. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Also, we're joined by Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society. He's in Chicago. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
And Mohammed Jibril is a Libyan student recently at Michigan State University. We're welcoming all three of these people back to the program. Mohammed, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Nancy Youssef, when you hear the story of 20 dead, perhaps, at least according to the health ministry in Egypt, in the violence over the weekend, what's your reaction? What's going on?
This is an absolute tragedy and I think completely senseless. And at the same time, symptomatic of problems that have been developing with the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces over the last several months. It's clearly reached a tipping point. It's tragic that it's happening a week before the elections.
And this is a week before the parliamentary elections.
Yes.
And people seem to be convinced that the military and the Interior Ministry are trying to take control or hold power here.
Well, the sort of protest on Friday that sparked the current demonstrations was in response to a proposal by SCAF. To effectively hold on to, not so much to hold on to power, but to retain a kind of autonomy for the military even after the election of a civilian government. And this proved finally intolerable even to the Muslim Brotherhood that has been more or less cooperating with the military's plans to hold elections.
The Muslim Brotherhood, of course, the main Islamist party in Egypt. SCAF, can you give us that acronym?
SCAF, Supreme Council of the Armed Forces.
Very good. Yeah. Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society, what do you see in the story of the Arab League trying to negotiate a deadline for Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, to either step down or to stop the crackdown on demonstrators, that deadline passing? What do you see?
Well, I mean, that's an important landmark in the crisis in Syria. First of all, the Arab League is asserting itself as a major regional power, and it looks like the Syrian regime has lost its legitimacy in the eye of most of the Arab states, and it looks like the deadline has passed without agreement about the details of the human rights monitor that the Arab League was planning to send to Syria. There were some reports that the Arab League rejected the changes that the Syrian regime have done to it. But this is really a tipping point, that the fact that the Arab League right now is pressuring the Syrian regime very forcefully. And very soon people expect that the file will be transferred to the United Nations, to the Security Council.
Dr. Salul, have you been in touch with your family members?
Oh, I call them. I call them every couple of days, and there is a lot of anxiety and uncertainty when I talk with my mother and my father. As your audience may know, that phone lines are monitored by the Syrian regime, so they don't speak freely. But there is some code words. They always say, well, it wasn't a good day last day. We were not able to venture out to the street. There is some shortage of basic needs, especially heating oil and so forth. They usually go out only once a week or so to get some basic needs. There is a lot of anxiety. But at the same time, I sense determination that there is a point of no return. and people have determined that this regime has to go.
Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society, who has to speak, as he just said there, in code with his own family members back in Syria. Mohamed Jibril, Libyan student recently at Michigan State University, do you have to speak in code when you speak with your family members about the developments over the weekend?
Not anymore.
Well, and we're grateful for that. How did you react and your family members react to the story that Saif Gaddafi has been captured on his way to Niger and also some other members of the regime?
We finally feel that this regime is over. I mean, Gaddafi is dead. His heir, Saif, is captured. The murderer, Abdullah Sanusi, is caught as well. And so it's kind of, you know, the finish. It's the end of the story. We finally got rid of that family and its corruption. So, yeah, we're hoping, you know, to start and build a new country. Because literally Gaddafi didn't leave a country behind him. He left... We're starting from scratch now. We didn't have institutions like in Tunisia and in Egypt. We didn't have ministries. We didn't have anything. So we're starting from scratch now. We didn't have political parties. We never had, actually. Not just in the past 40 years, in the past 50 years. So now we're trying to learn to disagree with one another without fighting.
Interesting. Learning to disagree without fighting. That's Mohamed Jibril, who's a Libyan. He's recently been a student at Michigan State University. Nancy Youssef, give our student, Mohamed Jibril, some advice on how to negotiate the next several months to go from hope and the kind of enthusiasm that we remember in your voice during the height of the Tahrir Square demonstrations early in this year to what is now a sense of a setback.
Well, I think, as Mohamed said, Libya is a very different situation. I mean, they're essentially going from a completely blank state, a slate, and I think they have a fantastic opportunity to build up civil institutions from scratch. In Egypt, we're peeling layer upon layer upon layer of the old regime, and I think we're seeing another layer get peeled off, hopefully, with the current events.
A sense of optimism, Nancy?
In the long run, yes. Although, you know, with so many people dead and injured in the last few days, it's hard to feel happy about the turn that events have taken.
It's Nancy Youssef, Egyptian-American professor of English at City University of New York, Baruch College, right here in New York. It's been on the program several times. One of the voices from Arab Americans looking at the Arab Spring. Mohamed Jibril, are you optimistic?
Yeah, I am. I mean, now finally we can criticize. If anything is wrong, we just say it is wrong and it needs to be changed.
All right, we should follow you back to your country. Mohamed Jibril, Libyan, recently student at Michigan State University, and Dr. Zahir Salul, are you optimistic, sir, before we go?
I am optimistic. I think the people in Syria and in the rest of the Arab states have determined that there is no return.
No turning back, indeed. No Dr. Zahir Salul, president of the Syrian American Medical Society. He spoke with us from Chicago. Thanks to all three of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.